Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. Y'all doing all right? Yeah, so good to see all you guys. Today, we are going to actually turn our attention to a subject, and that subject is faith. And if I can maybe make just a quick comment, you know, just in preparation, I feel like the Lord really wanted me to target, if you will, those who are either new to the faith or those who are in the early stages of their faith. And so if you kind of fall anywhere in that spectrum today, I would encourage you to lean in. I'm going to share some things with you that I wish somebody would have told me when I first gave my life to Jesus. I think it would have expedited my growth. And so if you are here today and you're like, man, I'm not really in that category. I'm more of a person that's been walking with the Lord for years. You know, God may speak some things to you out of this. I hope he does. But if you can, I would just encourage you to pray just for those who are younger in the faith in the room, that kind of like the revelation light will come on. Yes. Amen? Amen, because we're all in this together, yeah? Yes. All right, to get us moving in the right direction, I want us to read a couple of verses from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go. It says this. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post there in that secret, intimate place of prayer. I will wait to see what the Lord says. And then it says in verse 2, then the Lord said to me, write the answer plainly on tablets so that the runner can carry the current message to others. The vision is for a future time, or for the message is for a future time. And then he tells us in verse 4 what that message is. It says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. It says, but the just, and this part I won't see, but the just or the righteous shall live by his faith. Can somebody say his faith? His faith. You know, I think it's pretty wild that 600 years before Jesus was born, you know, God's people were still operating out of the Mosaic law, which means they were trying to check 630 plus boxes to make sure they, you know, checked all the rules, whatever, and they were still sacrificing animals and all that in the temple. That in the middle of all of that, God gave this prophet a revelation that captures the heart of what it truly means to walk with God under the new covenant. And that is this, is that we all need a personal living faith in God. Amen? That if you notice the key words, it says, his faith. Now, understand that we can't borrow somebody else's faith. We can't necessarily lean on somebody else's faith. We got to have our own faith. Amen? Amen. Now, listen, if we fast forward in time all the way to not just the New Testament, but to the days of the early church, we find that the Apostle Paul, he repeats the prophet's message to the believers in the Roman church. He says this in Romans 1, 16 and 17. He says, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ, because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. That's good news. Says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Watch this. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, just as the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. So once again, we see, you know, the call to live by faith, but I want us to see what Paul actually added to that. Notice that he said there at the end of verse 17, he says this means this Christian life is accomplished, or it's achieved from start to finish by one thing, by faith. So in other words, he's saying from the moment you say yes until the moment that you die, our walk with God is going to require us to have faith, right? So in light of those words, I want us to kind of point to the bookends real quick of this. I think we all understand that we start our walk with God by faith, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith, right? So what happens is some point in our lives, you know, you or I, whatever age, you know, we heard the gospel message. And at that moment, we responded to what we heard in faith. And that faith not only made us right with God, but it also allowed for our sins to be forgiven. And it made us what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we became new creations in Christ Jesus. So that's how we all started, right, our journey with God. It was by faith. Now, I think we also understand that if you fast forward to the end of our lives, whenever that's going to come, right, that one day we are going to finish this race by faith, right? See, we put our trust in what Jesus said in John 14, where he said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to take you where I am so we can be together, right? And so it's from that verse, we have faith that when we die, that we're going to go to our eternal home in heaven. Amen? All right, now watch this. As grateful as I'm sure all of us are for our salvation moment and the assurance that we have that we're going to spend eternity with God, I want us to see that the prophet here and Paul, their message didn't just talk about how we need to start in faith and how we need to finish in faith, but it actually spoke to everything in between. Right? And so today it's that everything in between. If you, you know, once again, if you're new to the faith, I want to talk about that part of the journey with you. Okay? So with that in mind, has anybody noticed that it's in that in-between where things kind of get complicated with our faith? Yeah. Like, have you noticed it's in that in-between where you and I tend to struggle with this thing called faith? You know, it's kind of funny, if I can elaborate on that. I've seen, thousands of people be born again. I don't know the number, okay? I've seen a lot of people give their life to Jesus. In that moment, they're weeping and crying, and there's a peace that's there because that burden of sin is lifted off of them. But I've also seen over the years, 27 years walking with Jesus, I've seen a whole lot of people die too, right? And I've seen a lot of people die that were mature in the Lord, and they all have one thing in common, peace. Right? And so there's this almost this easiness, if you will, when we give our life to Jesus, and there's this easy transition when you know God that, you know, we just know where we're going. But once again, it's in the middle of all that where things get complicated and where we so often struggle and we go up and down in our walk with God. So what I want to do is I want to give you a verse that kind of shows this, and then we're going to move on. Here we go, Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read verses 22 through 33. It says, immediately after this, that means after Jesus got done teaching, that he insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. This says in verse 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Verse 25 says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. All right. So I read all that to get here, because right here is where we're going to see the start, the middle, and the finish, and what it really looks like. Okay. I'm repeating all these things on purpose because I'm wanting it to sink in. Okay. Here we go. Verse 27. It says, but Jesus spoke to them at once, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Whew, that's the start. It was easy. In my head, once again, I read the Bible, I kind of see him being like, hey, guys. Right? I just like see him interact, like he's enjoying the moment. Like nobody's ever done that before, right? And then it shows verse 30, right? But when, so he got into the middle, got in the in-between, he saw the strong wind and the waves. He was terrified and began to what? Began to what? Sink. Began to sink. He says, save me, Lord. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. And he said this, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Like, if we're being honest, sometimes those words, you know, describe the in-between moments of our life, I think more than we would like to admit. Yeah? So then it says in verse 32, we're going to see the end here. It says, when they climbed back, when Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him, saying, you really are the Son of God. Peaceful beginning, all hell broke loose in the middle, and now we got a peaceful end. Ooh, we're with Jesus, right? So once again, might be a weird passage to use for this, but in my opinion, this story not only describes our life of faith perfectly, but it also shows us that we're probably more like Peter than we realize. And what I mean by that is this, is that like Peter, we all tend to sink a bit in our faith when the winds and the waves pick up in our life. Like, I wish that wasn't the case, but the truth is, that's the truth. It happens to all of us, right? Now, I have personally found not only for myself, but walking with people for years, that when those wind and waves moments comes, that's when we start to struggle with doubt. We start really struggling to go, you know what, does this prayer thing even work? Is that Bible even real? God, are you even real? God, where are you? Right? Ever had those moments? So it's in that wind away moments where you start second guessing the things that we know we should be doing. It's where we become discouraged because there's something that didn't work out like we thought it should work out. It's in those moments, the wind and waves, and we start getting distracted like Peter, and we start trying to, we start caring for the things of the world, right? And that we're tempted to start walking by our sight rather than by our faith. It's there, I know I'm saying a lot, but it's there where we start feeling overwhelmed and difficult, you know, because difficult circumstances. Have you ever noticed that when the winds and waves go, you start getting emotional? Yeah. Like you get angry, you get stressed, worried, depressed, fear, all this stuff we've been talking about, right? And it's also there we start focusing on our personal limitations. We realize we can't walk on water, right? And we have a limited resources, right? And we start falling back into our old thought patterns and acting like we used to. But here's all that's true. But here's the main thing I want you to hear today. Send that last one. Have you noticed when the waves and the wind kick up, that's when it seems like the voice of the enemy is the loudest? And not only does he try to get us to question the things that we know Jesus has said to us, but he's also really, his goal is try to get us to take our eyes completely off of Jesus. Because why? Because if we can take our eyes off Jesus and focus on the waves, we're going to sink. Right? So over the years, I've learned that, you know, the wind and the wave moments, they all tempt us to stop living by faith and start living off our emotions and our five senses. And, I think just by looking around, I'm probably not the only one that's ever felt those ways. Right? So what I want to do is, and this is kind of the point I want to make, it's because we've all been there. We all know what it's like to sink. I think we need to learn to do what Jude 3 says. We need to learn how to start contending for the faith. Yeah. Need to contend. Like, do you understand that when we said yes to Jesus, we entered into a warfare? Right? And in that warfare, we need to learn how to contend or fight for our faith. That's why Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, right? And so not only do we need to learn how to contend, but we also need to take the time to develop and strengthen our own faith so when the wind picks up again, man, we don't get so knocked and blown off course as we have in the past, like so easily, right? Amen? Amen. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, so with all that said, what I want to do for the next couple minutes is I want to share a couple of biblical truths with you. Like I said at the top, these are things that I wish somebody would have told me from day one. It would have helped me a lot. And so I want to share these things with you for one purpose in mind, is I want to help you to live by faith. Okay? And so to kind of get the ball rolling here, we got to answer probably the most important question of all, and that is this. I know it seems simple, but a lot of people are confused by it. We got to answer the question, what is faith? Like, what is faith? Over the years, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of weird things, okay? And even Christians say a lot of weird things. But the most basic definition of faith is this, is to have complete trust and confidence in God. To have complete trust and confidence in God. You know, like I said, over the years, I've heard a lot of people say weird things, but I've also heard people say this, man, we just need to take a leap of faith. We need to take a leap of blind faith, right? And in essence, what those people are saying, I know you've heard it, I've heard it. What they're saying is, unknowingly, is that they want to put their faith in their own faith. Okay, that they're putting their faith in some unknown thing. But I want us to know today as Christians, man, we need to understand that our faith isn't linked to some wishful thinking or some fuzzy feeling or some positive energy that says, let's jump and see what happens, right? On the contrary, our faith, man, is grounded in someone, right, who is steady, he's dependable, he's trustworthy, he's faithful, he's proven, right, he's unchanging, like time is on his side, right, like that someone's name is God Almighty, amen? So as believers, we need to trust in him, we need to rely on him, and we need to give him 100% of our confidence. See, this is why the Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy. I love this verse. 2 Timothy 1:12. It says, but I am not ashamed, for I know, and the Amplified adds, for I know and am intimately acquainted with, watch these words, whom I have believed. Notice he didn't say, man, I'm not ashamed. I know what I believe. We don't serve a what, we serve a who, right? We serve God. And so we don't put our trust in some church building. We don't put our trust in a congregation or religion or even a set of beliefs. Like we don't serve a creed, we serve God, right? So our faith is in him and him alone, amen? All right, because of this, as believers, another thing we got to grab a hold of is we got to understand that when we say that we have complete trust and confidence in God, this also means we have complete trust and confidence in his word, right? The Bible. And the reason is because the two are inseparable. They are one, right? This is why the Bible says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Watch this. And the word was God. The word and him, they're the same. And so, listen, because that's true, we know we can have complete confidence. Genesis and Revelation, we have complete confidence in the Bible because we have complete confidence in him. Like if we can, the revelation, like let it sink deep. God's nature, God's character, God's word, God's promises, they're all in unity. They all function in perfect harmony. There's no contradiction in him. So that's why we got to watch what I say and what I believe doesn't line up with the Bible. You know, there's that old saying that it's Genesis 1:26, that God created us in his image and that we today have turned around and basically we have now made him in our image, right? So a lot of people are doing that. Like I hear a lot of people talk about faith and talk about God and it's not rooted in the Bible. If it's not rooted in the Bible, it's a lie and it's from hell. Okay? So in light of all of that, over the years, here's the personal definition for faith that I've kind of adopted. And it's simply this. Faith is being confident in who God says he is and that he'll do what he said he would do. No, it's that simple. I have confidence that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he said he'll do. And because it's that simple, I trust him and I step forward and that step is known as faith. Amen. We're not stepping off some deep void, some unknown. We're walking on the word. Amen. So there's a verse that over the years that has on one hand challenged me, but on the other hand, it's encouraged me that I want to share with you. It's Romans 4:20-21. It speaks to this. It says, but he, talking about Abraham, we all know that's the father of the faith, right? It says, but he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God. And it says, being fully convinced, that's the goal, being fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's where our faith needs to be. Amen. Once again, he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he'll do. All right, if you're taking notes, if we're going to live by faith, let me give you 6 quick things. The first one is this. These are important. I'm saying all of them intentionally. The first one is this. We need to understand that there are no substitutes for faith. There are no substitutes for faith. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. The word please says it's impossible to be in agreement with God. It's what it means in original language. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God or he who approaches God must first believe that what? He is. That once again, he exists and that he is who he says he is. You know, it's kind of funny. Over the years, I've watched a lot of people. This is in the church and outside the church. But I've watched a lot of people try to come to God on some basis other than faith. Right? Like I've watched people try to get, quote unquote, right with God through their good behavior, through their good works, through charitable giving, through their community service. I've seen people think their positive energy is what makes them think they're right with God, their church attendance, or some other religious activity. Like, I've seen all of that. In fact, I literally heard someone the other day tell somebody that no, you're saved because you basically serve down there in Camden at something. I'm like, that's not what the Bible says. Right? I'm not knocking that, but if we don't know the Bible, those are things we tell ourselves. Right? So I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that it's not founded on the truth. Okay? So I just think that this verse, Hebrews 11:6, makes it really clear that none of that works. Right? That there's no substitute for faith, that if we're going to be saved, if we're going to know God, if we're going to walk intimately with him, then we got to approach him by faith. There is no other way. Now, if I can maybe quickly give you a story that I think relates to this in some way. You know, years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a man named Ralph Merowitz. We called him Dr. Ralph, okay? And Dr. Ralph, way older than the rest of us on staff, you know, the guy had been serving Jesus, I don't know, about 50 years at that time. So this guy had a couple years underneath him. But if you back up, Merowitz, he was a Jewish man. His family didn't practice any faith. His parents split up for whatever reason when he was young. I think he was from Southern California, if my memory serves me right. And at that time, because mom couldn't take care of him, she didn't have enough money, dad couldn't afford to send money, they threw him in an orphanage, him and his brother. And, you know, and that made him bitter and angry because all the other kids didn't have a parent, and he had a parent, but they wouldn't come see him, right? And so he just got super angry. And then one time, I don't know, about 16 years old, his father helped him lie to the military, and he ended up joining the Army Air Corps. And so here he was, bitter, angry young guy, as you would expect. In the middle of all of that, Jesus got a hold of him, and he got radically saved. And when he got radically saved, him and his wife, he knew, man, I'm called to preach the gospel. And so, you know, even though he was active duty in the military, he actually, you know, started attending this Bible college. And one evening, the whole reason I'm telling this story, one evening he was given a homework assignment, and he had to go write a paper to answer one question: who is God? So he said that, you know, he put his daughter in bed, his wife went to bed, and he sat down at the kitchen table, and he had a stack of theological books, had his Bibles all out, and he had his little notepad and his pencil. And so he began to set out on this journey to answer, who is God? And so he started writing, and then he'd erase. He said he erased so much, they started tearing holes in the paper, so he had to start taping paper, chunks of paper, on the backside so he could keep writing. And after hours of trying to answer this question, who is God, he finally, out of exhaustion, he fell asleep. And once again, if my memory is right, the next morning he woke up, and he still didn't have his paper done. He, out of desperation, he said, God, basically, who are you? And he heard two words: he is. And this verse of Hebrews 11:6 came alive to him, because once again, you realize if anyone's going to come to God, you got to believe he is. He is what? That yes, he exists, but man, that the he is encompasses everything that we know about him, that he is loving, right? That he is merciful, that he's holy, that he's all knowing, he's all powerful, that he's all, you know, ever present, the unchanging, he's all sufficient, right? He is the great I am. And so what's so funny is, you know, here is paper. He's supposed to write this big paper. He wrote the question, who is God? And he wrote, he is. Turned it in, and he made 100. Good day, right? All right. So once again, we can only approach God and know him by faith. Here's the second thing we need to remember, is that if we're going to live by faith, is that we all have a measure of it. We've all been given a measure. And what I mean by that is Romans 12:3 says this. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt, or God has given to each one a measure of faith. All right, let me say this. Most theologians would agree that statement, we've been given a measure of faith or measurement of faith, that was given to us for salvation purpose. It's a saving faith. In other words, we heard the gospel, we responded to it in faith, that's what that means. Now, here's why I think this is really good news for us, okay? Is this means that measurement of faith, that is our starting place, not our lid. Right? See, I've heard so many people over the years go, man, if I had faith like so-and-so, if I had faith like so-and-so, man, if I could only believe like so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. And we need to understand today, listen to me, once again, if you're new in this, we all start in the same place. You know why brother and sister are where they're at? It's because they've done what we're talking about. Right? And so they're not special. They've just simply applied God's word to their life. Great place to say amen. All right. So listen, as we've read the Gospels, you know, more than likely, we all remember Jesus talking about different measurements of faith. And, you know, there's times where he says, you know, you got no faith. Then there's other people who say, you got a little bit of faith. And there's other people who say, wow, you had great faith. Now, if that's true, that faith can be measured, then that means wherever we're at today, guess what? It can grow. Right? That it can increase and it can mature and it can get stronger than it currently is right now. Once again, I'm telling you, that's really good news. Once again, you've been given a measurement. What are you going to do with the measurement? Right? So for this to happen, if it's going to grow, then it means, number three, that we need to begin to feed our faith regularly. The best illustration I can give you is this. When you're thinking about the second point and the third point, it's really this. It's 15 years ago, my wife gave birth to our oldest son, right? And when he was born, he was a super cute, 20 and a half inches long, and he weighed 7 pounds and 1 ounce. Cute little fella, right? Well, you fast forward 15 years, man, that little fella isn't so little anymore, right? In fact, I know this may shock some of you, but he's taller than me. That wasn't hard, all right? What happened in all that? What happened from that 7 pounds and 1 ounce to where he's at now? He began to eat, and he began to eat a whole lot. He began to eat regularly, right? So listen, if you and I realize it or not, man, this isn't that dissimilar to how our faith works, right? Like, we have to eat the bread of life consistently, and when we eat it consistently, we grow. Amen? But listen to me, on the opposite side, when we choose to ignore the Word of God or to give it just a small place in our life, in other words, when we consume ourselves with Fox News and CNN or ESPN or whatever, if it's Facebook or all that other junk that people look at, right? Like, if we're consuming our world with all of that, then what's going to happen is our faith consequently will remain weak, and it will remain feeble, and it'll, every time that wind blows, we'll be knocked off course. Right? And so for that reason alone, man, I'm encouraging you today to remember and to value what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 10:17. I know we've heard it, and we're taking three approaches, okay? It is this: we're either doing it, or we're ignoring it, or maybe this is the first time we're about to hear it. But we're all doing something with it, okay? Here's what Romans 10:17 says. It says, so then faith comes. Somebody say, faith comes.
Faith comes.
Man, it grows by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Guys, every page of this book contains God's words, and those words are not only full of life and full of faith, but they're also full of transforming power that has the ability to reshape the way we think and we believe. Like, remember what we talked about the previous 2 weeks. We said this, that fear begins with a thought, right? And if fear begins with a thought, then guess what? Faith begins the same way. So if you and I are going to build our lives on faith and not build our life with fear, then what we need to do is we need to start pouring thousands of God's thoughts through our minds. And by doing so, it'll begin to change the way we think. It'll change our thought life. If it changes our thought life, it'll change the way we believe. And if it changes the way we believe, it'll change the way we act. If it changes the way we act, it'll change the way we talk, we care, and it'll change our destiny. Right? Amen. So let me give you one other thing. This is pretty cool. Okay, think about it this way, that when you are feeding your faith, while you're feeding your faith, you're actually starving your doubts. Right? That's why, man, when the wind blows, instead of running to everybody that we run to console us, if we start running to the Word of God, we'll find ourselves, get our balance again, and we'll settle in, and because what happens is we start feeding our faith, and we start starving our doubts, we can continue to walk how God wants us to. Listen, no shame. Everybody gets rocked. Everybody, okay? We all look like whatever his name is on the Weather Channel, right? We all have our moments like that, right? But thank God, if we just dig in, we'll be okay. Amen. Let me say this, get kind of a free thought here. Unless I'm missing something, I want you to know that our faith only grows in one way. And what I mean by that is I don't think there's anything in the Bible. Like, God never told us that we can pray for more faith. I'm saying that because how many people, can I say it? This is going to sound strong. I'm going to say it because I'm going to speak from experience here, okay? That we're too lazy to read the Bible, and we just go, well, I'll pray for faith instead. I've done it, right? I'm tired. I'll ask for more faith. That's what I thought as a young guy, right? And so here's the thing. Did you notice that the Bible never says that we can worship our way to more faith? Watch this. We can't even have somebody prophesy to us and we gain faith. I've seen a lot of people get words from the Lord and they do nothing with it because they didn't have faith. That word didn't bring faith, right? And we can't even encourage ourselves or be encouraged by somebody else and let our faith go through that. Man, the Bible's clear. Faith only comes by one way, and it's through the Word of God. Now, let me give you a caveat here, and this is important, okay? And some of y'all, this may not make a lot of sense, but please lean in, okay? The only way faith comes, once again, is through the Word, but I want you to know that our faith can be strengthened when we pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, listen, we find this, why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. Jude 20 says this, says, but you, beloved, talking to God's people, building yourselves up, edifying yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, here's my encouragement, ask. That's it. Just ask. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it more difficult than it needs to be. You think, I don't understand that. Listen, if it's from God, it's good. Yes. Go ahead and settle that, okay? But I think this, the reason it edifies us is because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray actually the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God always comes in line with the Word. And so in essence, we're praying the Word of God over our lives. Therefore, our faith is strengthened. Amen. Here's the fourth one. Y'all doing all right? Yes. Fourth one is this, is we got to remember that if we're going to live by faith, that faith has to be practiced. It has to be practiced. And, I don't want to oversimplify this, but our faith is a lot like muscles. The more we use them, man, the stronger it gets, right? And you know what happens when you don't use muscle? You lose it, right? So our faith muscles, so to speak, man, are used every time that we obey God's voice. I don't miss that. Every time we obey God's voice, we are exercising our spiritual muscles. Now, his voice can come in a lot of different ways. More common ways, obviously, the Bible, an inward voice, still small voice. There's a whole lot of things there we can get into maybe another day. But every time we respond in a timely manner, not dragging your feet, not ignoring, not maybe hoping it'll go away, but every time we respond in the timely manner that God wants us to, you know, once again, to what we're hearing, that's called an act of obedience. And according to James chapter 2, our faith is not only demonstrated by obedience, but did you know that your faith and your obedience, actually, they go together. They can't be separated. Meaning this, that if we believe, we will obey. And if we obey, it's because we believe. They go together. That's why people who know the Bible but don't live the Bible, they don't really have faith. They have a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. Okay? So listen to what James 2 says on this. He says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. In other words, other people go work at the soup kitchen. Okay, that's what he's saying. He says, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? How can you show me your faith if you don't have obedience? And he says, I will show you my faith by my good deeds or by my obedience. And then he gives us this amazing example, you know, whatever, three verses down. It says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham, or our father of the faith, was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Says, you see, his faith and his actions, or his obedience, worked together. His actions or his obedience made his faith complete. So listen, if we're going to grow and we're going to live by faith, then we got to do what we know. Amen. 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 The fifth thing we need to remember is this. We're going to live by faith. This is so important. I changed the wording of it. It's a little different than up there. But we need to speak with a voice of faith. We need to speak with a voice of faith. Now, to kind of give you a verse connected to this, I want to read a passage, but I want to make something really clear. More than likely, you've turned on the TV at some point and seen somebody preaching a sermon from this passage of Scripture, and they're misusing it. They're using it for their own selfish gain, and they're twisting and perverting it, in my opinion, and it's not in balance. Okay? Now, what's happened so often in the church, y'all hear what I'm about to say. So often we see that stuff happen in the church and we throw the verse out. Instead of realizing that just because somebody misused it doesn't mean that it negates the truth that Jesus was trying to tell us. So there's a truth in this that we need to grab a hold of, but the balance of the truth is it has to go with other scriptures, such as, like, 1 John, I want to say 5:16, my address may be wrong. That simply says this, that we have confidence in this, that whatever we pray, if it be according to his will, it shall be done. That's the key. It has to be according to his will. Okay, so let's look at this, because once again, we're talking about speaking with the voice of faith. Mark 11 says, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. It says, Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree, what he said to the tree on the previous day, and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. Watch this. You can what?
Say.
You can say. You can speak. You can say to that mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. I have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. The anything is, it has to be in the will of God. And if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. Great verse. Amen. Listen, what he's trying to tell you, he's trying to say, this is how you live in faith. Remember, it's repent and believe. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. He's trying to tell us how the kingdom operates. The kingdom operates by speaking and confessing. It's part of operating in our God-given authority. Amen. All right, so in light of that, I think we all understand, because we've been talking about for 2 weeks, is that the voice of faith is God, right? That's God's voice. But that doesn't mean that he's never, enabled us, because we're created in his image to speak as a, not the, but as a voice of faith over our own lives. So that act is called this, key word, please remember this, it's called confession. You know, if you're more from a Catholic background, you tend to view confession as repenting of your sins. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins. So there's the side of confessing our sins. But this word for confession actually means this. This Greek word, it means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. In other words, we exercise our faith that in this way, that every time we pray or declare the word of God over our lives or over a situation we're in, we are confessing. We pray the word, we're confessing the same thing that God has said. That's why the Bible says, decree what the Lord has declared, right? And so when we do that, the Holy Spirit releases his supernatural power in the same way in our lives as he did with Jesus in Mark 11. It's good news, right? That's why Paul said what? He said that we speak or we call those things as though they were. In other words, we look at the situation instead of just accepting it. Man, that's awful. It's going south. It's going bad. Look at the mountain. Look at the storm. Oh, pity us. Right? That's not calling those things as though they were. That's accepting what the devil's serving you and what this world is serving you. But there's a place in God, guys, once again, where we declare what God has spoken. We declare, as your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? And so what happens is, I'll say it this way. So often when we go to prayer, this is where I was when I was a young believer. I would go to prayer and I would whine and moan and I'd tell God about the mountain that I couldn't overcome. And I finally understood when I started being taught this stuff, wait a second, there comes a moment where I got to quit talking to God about the mountain. I got to start talking to the mountain about God, right? And I got to declare, and that thing will move because Jesus said it would. Amen. I'm excited. All right. My pastor would say I'm preaching myself happy today. This is good. All right. Fire myself up. All right. Here's the sixth and final thing. Here we go. If we're going to live by faith, then we got to remember that our faith is unlimited. Yeah. Our faith is unlimited, okay? Now, when I say that, here's the balance. I'm not saying that you and I are like some all-powerful being. It's not what I'm saying. Once again, our faith isn't in ourselves. It's in God. And we understand that our God is all-powerful. And if he is all-powerful and that's who our faith is in, then our faith can become pretty amazing. Yeah. Amen? It can change the region. Amen. It can change our family. It can change us. Amen. Yes. All right. So with that in mind, I want to just read something really quick to quote the late Wendell Smith. He wrote this in his book called Great Faith. This is simple, but good. And you could keep filling in some blanks here if you wanted to. Here's what he said. He said, there is no problem he, God, cannot solve. Do we believe that? says, there is no question he cannot answer. There is no disease he cannot heal. There is no demon he cannot cast out. There is no enemy he cannot defeat. There is no difficulty he cannot overcome. There is no stronghold he cannot break down. There is no bondage he cannot break. There is no prison he cannot open. There is no need he cannot meet. There is no mountain he cannot move. Why? There is nothing too hard for our God. So what's our part in all that, gang? It's simply this, to believe. Amen. To believe. What did Jesus say? He said, all things are possible with God. And then he later said, all things are possible with those who believe. Believe what? The word of God. That God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he said he'll do. Amen? Amen. Last thing, and we're going to pray. So several years ago, Jennifer and I had the at a pretty cool opportunity. We got to go to Mexico, and we got to hang out with Brett Hancock. And we, while we were there, you know, because what they do in their ministry, we pretty much hiked down in the jungle, and we went kind of from hut to hut to hut to hut. And we sat there, and, you know, here I am. You know, I can't speak Nahuatl, and I can't speak Spanish. Thank God there's somebody there kind of translating for you. But what we saw Britt do, like in several places we went, we would literally see him grab a seed, like a kernel of corn, off the ground. He would put it in the palm of his hand, and he would begin to talk to the people he was ministering to. Once again, just imagine a hut, a few folks sitting there, and he's holding this seed in his hand, and he would talk about how that seed represents faith, right? Faith in God. And he said basically that if you plant that seed, right, in fertile ground, he's talking to farmers, that if you plant that thing, it's going to grow, it's going to produce fruit. And then what he would do is pull out his pocket knife, and this is where the point was, the lesson. He would cut that seed in three or four pieces, and he would talk about how, well, if we take this seed now, these pieces, and we go plant them in the ground, what's going to happen? Well, obviously the response was nothing. Nothing's going to grow. Right? Because why? Because they understood that, you know, without knowing everything we know, then since that you're taking the properties that God put in that seed, you're removing them when you start dividing it, so it doesn't work. So the lesson, not just there in the jungle, but the lesson for us today is simply this, is man, how have we divided our faith? How have we separated? Are we today, like Holy Ghost, tell me, talk to me, are we putting our faith, you know, in things like ourselves, and then a little bit of faith over here in our government, the next election, a little bit of faith over here in the paycheck, a little bit of faith over here in our family, man, they've always been there for me, a little bit of faith over here, my friend that I've had since high school. Like, am I spreading my faith? And what we have to understand that if we keep spreading our faith in all these areas, man, that our faith is not going to grow to the level that God desires for it to. Right? Like we need undivided faith, undivided trust, and undivided confidence. Like that should be our prayer. God, help us have a single purpose in our faith and let it be connected to you. And when it connects to him, I think it can get dangerous. Amen? Can you stand to your feet? So before Jen prays, I just want to say this. When we took communion earlier, Candace did a great job. And she talked about pretty much, look, if you're not right with God, today's a really good day, okay? And so here's the neat part is, you know, in this room, if you're right with him, and to kind of tag into the message, you know if you've started your faith journey or not. And so if you haven't, we would love to connect with you and pray with you. And so what we're going to do, there's going to be a few of us that are up here, a few of our prayer team members. They're going to be up here at the end of the service. And if you need to get right with God, or maybe you need a miracle, maybe you need God to move in your life in some way, maybe you need prayer, whatever it is that you need prayer for, man, we have a team of people that pray. They got to walk with God. They love Jesus. Okay, they know the Bible. They'll be more than happy to pray with you, just encourage you on your journey. Let's pray.
God, thank you for your word. It is life-giving to us. We thank you for your word that's been shed into our hearts today. Thank you for our hearts having fertile soil for the seed of your word to go down deep and germinate and grow and produce fruit in our lives. And Father, we desire to be undivided in our hearts towards you. And so we say, wherever our faith is at, if we're on the taking that first step in our journey with you, or if we're in the middle or nearing the end, God, thank you that our faith is unlimited with you, that we can continue to grow in our faith with you. And as we commit to dig into your word and to listen for your voice and to be obedient to what you say, God, thank you that faith is growing, that faith is growing, that faith is growing, that we are who you say we are, and we're going to walk the way you've called us to walk and walk in the authority that Jesus, you paid the price for us to walk in. May we walk worthy of the sacrifice that you made for us. I thank you for your people. God, I thank you that as maybe some of them are going to take a step into your word like they haven't before, God, thank you for meeting them there. Thank you for meeting them there. As they take a step in obedience to what you're leading them to, God, thank you that you're right there with them. God, that they would begin to see just you moving and answering and being there and growing their faith, Father. Thank you that we're not alone, that you are with us, we're with you, and we're in this together. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week and God bless.